ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This evening, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 9 as we're continuing our study through the Word of God. And I want you to kind of see what we've seen so far as the judgment of God has been poured out upon a Christ-rejecting world. You know, the first set of judgments that God poured out were the seal judgments. And we've seen that in the four seal judgments, one quarter of the earth's population was destroyed. Over 2 billion people, maybe 2.5 billion people. We also saw that the seventh seal judgment contained the seven trumpet judgments, and they were unleashed upon the earth. And in Revelation chapter 8, we saw the devastating effects as four of those seven trumpet judgments came forth. And those first four trumpet judgments affected the physical universe in some way. We also saw that with these trumpet judgments, the intensity of the judgments upon a Christ-rejecting world was increasing, and also they were getting closer together, kind of like labor pains with a woman who's in labor. They increase in intensity, frequency, until the birth of the child. And thus, with this period of time known as the tribulation period, as we get closer and closer to the return of Jesus Christ and the setting up of his kingdom and the birth of the kingdom age, these judgments are going to come more intensely and increase in frequency until that time. And with those first four trumpet judgments that we looked at, we saw that one-third of the vegetation was destroyed, one-third of the oceans destroyed, one-third of the fresh water supply destroyed, one-third of the sun, moon, and stars will be struck, causing 33% reduction in sunlight or darkness for 16 hours and light for just 8 hours. And that's just with the first four trumpet judgments. Now, I want you to listen carefully to how Revelation chapter 8 closes. And this verse is what we closed with last time in our study. But Revelation 8, verse 13 says this: "And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, 'Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound.'" So this isn't one woe or two woes. This is three woes. That's not a good thing. You know, this is severe judgments that are coming upon the earth dwellers. And it's a warning. Why do we even have to know about this? Because I think it shows us what's coming. And when we see the devastation of these judgments, hopefully it causes our heart to be stirred for the lost. You know, it's real easy in this world today to get angry at the unsaved. Well, I mean, they're only getting what they deserve. Well, did we get what we deserve? No, we got grace. Maybe we need to extend grace to them. I think this is the whole reason. The other reason is we see some of these things coming into place. We see the one world government. We see the one world religion. We see these things happening before us, which tells us the Lord's return is getting close. How close? We can speculate all day. Everyone has great ideas. All I know is that it's another day closer. And I look forward to it. I look for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to listen to what Warren Wiersbe had to say about these next two judgments, and then I'll expound on this. He said, "The late Dr. Wilbur M. Smith, who made the book of Revelation his special study, once wrote, 'It is probable that, apart from the exact identification of Babylon in Revelation 17 and 18, the meaning of the two judgments in this chapter represents the most difficult major problem in Revelation. Revelation 9 describes two frightening armies that are liberated at just the right time and permitted to judge mankind.'" Are they difficult to understand? Yes and no. I know that's a cop-out, but this is what I mean. These judgments are hard to imagine, but I think the Lord is showing us what these creatures are all about, that are unleashed upon the inhabitants of the earth. And that's what we're going to see as we look at this fifth trumpet judgment tonight here in Revelation chapter 9. We'll finish up next week looking at the sixth trumpet judgment. But again, this is upon the inhabitants of the earth. And people get confused by that. Well, we're living on the earth. What is this for us? Absolutely not. That phrase, inhabitants of the earth, them that dwell on the earth, earth dwellers, is used some 12 times in the book of Revelation. And this is a reference to a specific kind of people, those that are living upon the earth during the tribulation period. These are earth dwellers, or those who have rejected Jesus Christ. Why? Because this is their home. And you may think that I'm crazy, but this is not our home. We are aliens and strangers. We are just passing through. And yet, when you look at a lot of the church today, they have made this their home. We have to do this. We have to do that. We are going to, you know, make this world a Christian world, and then Jesus Christ will return. How's that working? It's not, because that's not what the Bible says. Paul in Philippians 3, verses 18 through 21 gives us some insight. He said, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." So that first group of people Paul's talking about are unbelievers. And specifically here in Philippians, he's talking about false teachers, false Christians. Again, unbelievers. What are they preoccupied with? Earthly things. It's easy for us as Christians to get caught up in that. We've seen it. But again, this is not our home. What is our responsibility as Christians in this world today? I know I've said it so many times. It's the Great Commission. I mean, it's not difficult. It is the Great Commission. Go out into all the world. Bring the gospel message to the lost. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them these things that I have taught you. That's our mission. William MacDonald put it like this. He said, "They were occupied with earthly things. For them, the important things in life were food, clothing, honor, comfort, and pleasure. Eternal issues and heavenly things did not disturb their groveling in the muck of this world. They carried on as if they were going to live on earth forever. You know, guys, for us as Christians, we have to be preoccupied with the lost, not with ourselves. We're to die to self. It's not about the luxuries we have, the things that we have. It's about the lost. And how are they going to see Jesus if we're not shining for him? We need to. Why are so many Christians focused on the things of this world? I guess I don't get it. I don't know. Our citizenship is in heaven. We're waiting for the Lord to come back. Some people say, well, you know, what do you think? It's the great escape for you? Yeah, it is a great escape for me. I'm waiting for the Lord to come back, the rapture of the church before the tribulation period starts. Yeah, I'm waiting for that. Because I think that's exactly what the scriptures are telling us. We're just passing through. Our home is in heaven. We're on, in a sense, vacation, you might say. We're aliens and strangers here in this world, and we're going home, and I think very soon. So this judgment of God is not for believers, or I should say the church. This is going to come upon those who are living on the earth during the time of the tribulation. Some of those people will turn to Christ. In fact, millions will. There's great revival that breaks out, but they're going to be affected by some of these things as well. We tend to look at the news today and go, oh my gosh, it's so horrible, right? My question is, have you read the judgments here in Revelation? They're nothing. This is nothing what we're experiencing compared to what's coming. This is a walk in the park today compared to these judgments that are coming upon the earth. And the whole idea is repent and get right with God, right? So we're going to, again, look at the fifth trumpet judgment tonight. Next time we'll look at the sixth trumpet judgment. And again, I'm taking our time going through this. I usually don't do that as we on Thursday evenings as we go through the Bible because, you know, it takes me about 15 years to go from Genesis to Revelation. I don't know if I have another 15 years in me, but we'll see. Maybe I have to go a little faster the next time. But keep in mind what we're seeing tonight is demonic in nature. And again, it's hard to even imagine all that's going to take place, but we'll see. And remember, for those that have refused to come to Christ, Revelation 6:17, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who's able to stand? And man, outside of Christ, there's death and destruction. No one can stand. Well, let's pick up here. Revelation chapter 9, starting in verse 1. And let's see what the Lord has for us this evening as we study his word. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. So here's this fifth trumpet that sounds. And John sees a star that's already fallen from heaven. And who is this star? Some feel that it's some kind of celestial object, but that makes no sense when you read on and this fallen star opens the bottomless pit. It's not some comet or celestial object. Some feel that this is just symbolic in nature. One writer, Torrance, put it like this. He said, St. John's vision likens the word of God to a star that falls out of heaven and opens the bottomless pit of human nature. Preach the gospel and keep on preaching it, and either men are ashamed and converted or the bottomless pit is open. Surely this is what has happened in the Western world, in civilized Europe, as well as in the land of the Mau Mau, for example. The cross of Jesus Christ has provoked such a reaction against it that all the latent evil in men has been pushed to the surface, unbelievable wickedness and bloodshed. The very bottomless pit has been opened in our midst, so that heaven and earth have been darkened with the fumes, and the whole atmosphere of the world has been poisoned. Well, I mean, that's very true. I mean, we see what's happening today, but that's not what's going on here. But again, when you reject God, what's going to flow from your life? The evil that's in there. In fact, God says, I'm going to give you over to these things. We see that in Romans chapter 1. Verse 24 says, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. The lie. What's the lie? Paul talked about that in Thessalonians, here in Romans. What's the lie? What was the lie in the Garden of Eden? What did Satan say to Eve? Oh, you shall not die. You eat of that fruit, you'll be like God. There's no judgment. That's the lie. And we see this whole idea of man being God portrayed today, New Age movement, a lot of these religions. We even see it within Christianity, where they say we're a God. Not true. That's not true at all. He goes on, he says, for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Do we see that today? Absolutely. This is what comes flowing from a life that has rejected God. And God says, I'm giving you over to these vile passions. Paul goes on, he says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. So it's not just being involved in these things. Have you heard people say, well, you know, I would never get involved in that lifestyle, but, you know, that's not me. It's okay for them. You're guilty. You're guilty before God. You're just as bad as them that do it. But again, this is not what John is talking about here. Well, first of all, we see a personal pronoun, he, being used. Secondly, we see this person's fall in the past tense, and thus it's something that has already happened. And I believe this fallen star is Lucifer, Satan. Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 14. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation. On the farthest sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. You see, he wanted the attention. He wanted to be God. And God judged him for that. He was cast from that position in heaven. He still has access today to God, accusing us before him. But one day during the tribulation period, he's going to be cast out of heaven. He'll no longer have access to God and accuse us before him. And I believe this has happened here in Revelation already. I think it happens at the midpoint of the seven-year tribulation period. We also see this take place, and we'll get to it in a few weeks or so, Revelation 12, verses 7 through 9, where he is cast out of heaven. It says, a war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So this event here in Revelation 12 that I just read takes place at that 3.5-year mark of the 7-year tribulation period. This is when the Antichrist goes into the Holy of Holies, demands to be worshipped of God. I think this is the point where Satan enters the Antichrist, when Satan is cast out of heaven. So here we see this fallen star, Satan, is given keys to the bottomless pit. Now, I take this literally. I realize there are some people that don't, but I take this literally. Where is the bottomless pit located? The center of the earth. Well, how can I say that? Because that is the only place where if you're in the center of the earth, you're at the bottom. Everything else is up. So I tend to believe it's the center of the earth. Well, what's down there in the center of the earth? I don't want to give you nightmares, but it may tonight. Sorry, it's just the way it is. Look at verse 2. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. Now, I kind of thought several years back that John was describing something that was not necessarily invented yet, that some kind of helicopters coming in, other things. But I think this is literal. I think these are demonic creatures from this bottomless pit. When you look at the text, I think that's what it's saying. My mistake was I tried to put John's description of these creatures into today's technology. I think that was the wrong way to approach it. Here's the thing. Satan's doing what he wants. Yes, he has to get approval from God to do anything. He can't. Remember when he was going to attack Job? He had to get permission from God before he did it. Well, then why is God not stopping him? Why is he allowing him to do these things? Because he's given man a choice. You could serve me, Almighty God, or you could serve Satan. Here's your choice. And here in Revelation is God's judgment upon a Christ-rejecting world. And so here's Satan. He comes down, opens this bottomless pit. Here comes this smoke. These locusts are pouring out, which are, I believe, are nothing more than demons. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? I believe these fallen angels are nothing more than demons. Does that mean, though, all demons are locked up in this bottomless pit? Well, that would make no sense, right? I mean, if every single fallen angel, demon, was locked up, then what's going on in the world today? Satan's not omnipresent. He can't be present everywhere. He can only be at one place at one time. That's because not all the demons are locked up. He has his myriads of demonic forces. One third of the angelic forces followed Satan in his rebellion. So not all of them are locked up. Well, then who's locked up? Why did they get locked up? What did they do that was so bad? I mean, that's an important question. Well, in Jude 1, verses 6 and 7, we're told this. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain but left their own abode, he reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. What I believe Jude is telling us is that these fallen angels violated the laws of God by not carefully guarding and maintaining their original position they were created for. Yeah, they rebelled against God and they were punished for that. But there's something more going on here than just that. Specifically, these fallen angels invaded territory that was foreign to them and forbidden to them. And I believe it's speaking of the human race. How could I be so sure? Because Jude likens their sins to that of Sodom and Gomorrah. The men of Sodom and Gomorrah went after strange flesh, right? The word strange in Greek speaks of different flesh. What's the point? These men in these cities in Sodom and Gomorrah were involved in homosexual relationships, which went against that which was natural, a relationship between a man and a woman. And I believe that these angels invaded the realm of another nature. They cohabitated with women to pollute the human race. Why? To prevent the Messiah from being born, the seed of the woman. What did God do? He destroyed the earth with a flood, except for Noah and his family. Noah was pure, perfect before God. He wasn't contaminated. And so, same with his family. And Peter tells us of these angels in 2 Peter 2:4, for if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell, Tartarus, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. So these angels, because they cohabitated with the human race, God judged them, put them into this bottomless pit for a specific period of time, a day of judgment. Not a day where they're going to judge the world, where God is judging the world, and he's going to use these demonic forces for his own cause. In the Bible, because we should always go back, and remember, I've told you, Revelation just takes from the Old Testament and puts a lot of this prophecy stuff into one book for us. So if we're confused about something, many times just by going back into the Old Testament, it'll help us to understand what's being said. In Genesis 6, verses 1 and 2, we see this spoken of. Now it came to pass, when men began to multiply in the face of the earth and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. In verse 4, there were giants on the earth in those days and also afterward. When the sons of God came into the daughters of men and they bore children to them, those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Now some say, well, that's not speaking of angels. You're just going to the extreme here. This is the godly line of Seth being the sons of God, married the ungodly line of Cain being the daughters of men. Let me ask you this. When the union of a believer and an unbeliever come together and they have children, are they some kind of demonic creatures? No, they're not. Not till they're teenagers. No, I'm just kidding. The classical use of the Old Testament of the phrase sons of God, Bar Elohim, is that of angels. You can see it in Job 1:6, Job 38:7. And I believe these fallen angels or demons that are locked in chains in the center of the earth in Tartarus, as Peter tells us, are those wicked angels who cohabitated with women. And there may be others down there, I don't know, but specifically here, that's in what we're told, that these angels that did these things are chained in this pit. I think John Phillips makes some interesting comments on these fallen angels. This is what he wrote. Picture what the world will be like if we were to open the doors of all the penitentiaries of the earth and set free the world's most vicious and violent criminals, giving them full rein to practice their infamies upon mankind. Something worse than that lies in store for the world. Satan, cast out of heaven, is now permitted to summon to his aid the most diabolical fiends in the abyss to act as his agents in bringing mankind to the footstool of the beast. Wow.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.